From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cormery. Thank you for listening. The man who was slammed to the ground by a former Juneau police officer this summer is suing the city and borough of Juneau and the officer in civil superior court. Christopher Williams Jr. filed a lawsuit last week against the city and former Juneau police officer Brandon LeBlanc for allegedly violating his civil rights during the arrest. The violent arrest knocked Williams unconscious. He was later medevaced out of town. The lawsuit comes just over a month after the state's Office of Special Prosecutions cleared the officer of criminal charges. Video of the July incident recorded by a witness circulated widely online and prompted public outcry. Jeff Barber is an attorney representing Williams. In an interview, Barber says the lawsuit seeks to hold the city and LeBlanc accountable.
It's dehumanizing to see the way Mr. Williams was treated in this case by police. I think more people should be aware of these kind of actions. And I mean, it represents an assault on human dignity when you see someone act like that.
The lawsuit asserts several allegations of wrongdoing by both LeBlanc and the city. It claims that LeBlanc acted with, quote, intentional malice when arresting Williams, and that his actions led Williams to suffer severe and permanent physical injury. It says LeBlanc intentionally failed to render aid to Williams after he was injured. The lawsuit also claims the city is liable for hiring LeBlanc and failed to reasonably train and supervise the officer, who was previously sued by a man for excessive force and battery while he served in Louisiana. The jury in that lawsuit found LeBlanc not guilty. After Williams' arrest in July, LeBlanc was placed on paid administrative leave. He later resigned from his position just a day before JPD released the body-worn camera footage of the arrest. In his statements to the Office of Special Prosecutions, he denied any wrongdoing and said he acted out of fear for his own safety during the incident. Juneau Police Chief Derek Boss defended the department's hiring of LeBlanc during a presentation to the Juneau Assembly in late September, saying LeBlanc is, quote, a good officer who made a very bad mistake, end quote. Barber, Williams' attorney, disagrees.
Yes, we're seeking money damages from the entities that are responsible, all the way from the top on down. So if it looks like the city and borough of Juneau, you know, shouldn't have hired this guy in the first place, we're going to hold him accountable for that.
The lawsuit does not specify the amount of damages Williams seeks. Juneau's city attorney, Emily Wright, said on Tuesday afternoon that the city had yet to be served with the complaint and could not comment. Last night, the Juneau Assembly officially killed a proposal to locally implement ranked choice voting. The body unanimously voted to table the ordinance to adopt a ranked choice voting system for municipal elections beginning next year. The decision came after multiple people testified on the topic at the Assembly's regular meeting. Roger Calloway was one and says he doesn't think the decision should be up to the Assembly.
I'm here to testify against adopting this ordinance. I believe it's wrong for you, the Assembly, to decide how we, the voters, get to cast our votes.
Alaska already uses a ranked choice voting system for statewide elections. In local elections, Juneau voters choose one candidate in single-member races, like Assembly seats. With ranked choice voting, voters would have instead ranked candidates by preference. Juneau's recently retired city clerk, Beth McEwen, testified against the change. She says that while she supports ranked choice voting at the state level, she argued it's unnecessary for Juneau and would confuse voters.
I think it was a good decision for state elections, not for local elections. Local elections are nonpartisan. The state has a partisan system, and we have primaries and general elections at the state. We don't have that at the local level.
Assemblymember Ella Atkison originally introduced the ordinance earlier this summer. She made the motion to table it indefinitely last night, which means the proposal is dead. A similar ordinance could still arise in the future under a new assembly. Atkison says it's not the right time to implement the change as the city faces more pressing issues like budget cuts following the results of the recent local election.
We are going to have to cut services and we are going to have to lay people off. And that is the thing we are going to work together as a community to get through. But it's going to be a really tough time for Juneau, and we're going to have to spend a lot of time and energy as a community getting through that hard time.
According to data from the state's Division of Elections, Juneau voters favored ranked choice voting at the state level. Juneau overwhelmingly voted against a repeal effort on the ballot last election, which only very narrowly failed statewide. Advocates have already filed new initiatives in an attempt to repeal it in the 2026 state election. And a controversial mineral exploration project near Haines is changing hands again, just 1 year after the last shakeup. Vizsla Copper Corporation is the new owner. The company says one of its key priorities is earning local support. But at least for one local tribe, that's not in the cards. The Alaska Desk's Avery Alfelt has more.
Vizsla Copper announced Thursday it's taking full ownership of the Palmer Project. That's a zinc, copper, gold, silver, and barite exploration site north of Haines and about 14 miles upstream from the native village of Klukwan. Vizsla is based in British Columbia, and it purchased the project from American Pacific Mining Corp, which has been involved since 2022. In a pre-recorded video, the two companies lauded Palmer as an exciting prospect, particularly amid surging global demand for critical minerals and the Trump administration's efforts to boost mining in Alaska. Here's Vizsla CEO Craig Perry.
The U.S., and particularly Alaska, wants to see mineral projects developed or advanced and developed to supply, you know, particularly U.S. markets for metals that are critical to life as it is now and as we go forward.
Still, the project, which has been under exploration for nearly two decades, has a long road ahead, Perry says. This deal doesn't change that.
I think it's crucial to highlight that this is a long way from being a mining project.
Agreed.
And there's a lot of stages you have to go through to get there. So we're many, many years away from that.
The project has fueled debate for decades over what a mine would mean for the Chilkat Valley. Some say a mine would boost the local economy, while others argue it's not worth risking impacts to the Chilkat watershed. Perry of Vizsla acknowledged that the mining industry needs to do a better job of working with local communities, but he says his company has made that a priority on other projects and would do the same with this one.
We've sort of demonstrated that not only do we listen, but we act on what we hear from communities and First Nations groups and look to work in partnership with those guys.
The Chilkat Indian village of Klukwan has long opposed the Palmer project out of concern that a future mine would contaminate the Chilkat River, which supports runs of all five species of Pacific salmon. During an interview following Vizsla's announcement, Council President Kimberly Strong said that concern still stands.
I seriously do not believe there is any opportunity to gain community support. The threat is too significant for my community, and I think for the wider Chilkat Valley.
Strong also says she's skeptical about any mining companies that claim to prioritize engagement with tribes, particularly given her experiences with the myriad companies that have already had a hand in the local project.
The moment we sit down with them, it's considered engaging with the tribe. Yeah, it's not meaningful engagement when they'll come and listen, but they'll still do whatever they want.
Purchasing the Palmer project means Vizsla will also acquire Constantine Metal Resources, which has operated the project locally since 2006. And at least for now, Constantine's role won't change. The company declined to comment. Vizsla noted in a statement that it will need to raise $25 million from investors to move forward with exploration. American Pacific, for its part, will walk away with $15 million in Vizsla shares, as opposed to cash. The company could also net an additional $15 million on two conditions. First, if Vizsla finds that the project could yield a certain quantity of minerals. And second, if the project ever becomes a commercial mine. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And researchers say vessel strikes are a major threat for whales, including in the waters off Alaska. But a new technology is aiming to change that by using AI, thermal imaging, and marine observers. Alonia Nyden with the Alaska Desk reports, more companies that do business in the state are giving it a try.
Matt Cox is the CEO of Matson, a company that delivers cargo and cars from Tacoma to Anchorage, Kodiak, and Dutch Harbor. He says the company is trying a new type of technology called Whale Spotter, which will help Matson ships detect whales.
Every handful of years, we unfortunately do have a strike, and of course we report that up. The hope is that this new technology will make that even more rare of an occurrence in the future. That's our hope.
Whale Spotter was introduced commercially about a year ago and is now used by a dozen companies, including some in Alaska. Matson is the latest to partner with Whale Spotter to limit whale strikes and the first container ship company to use the system. Researchers say ship strikes are one of the leading causes of whale deaths worldwide. In the Juneau area alone, at least 9 humpback whales were hit by ships in the last 5 years, according to a local project, Juneau Whale Health.
So this is a problem, for sure.
Andy Zabo is the director of the Alaska Whale Foundation that studies and protects whales, primarily in southeast Alaska. Zabo says ship strikes are especially prominent in the areas frequented by crews and cargo ships.
Whenever you're running high-speed, large boats through whale waters, that increases the likelihood of strikes.
Sabo says humpback whales are the most prone to strikes because they often swim close to the surface or to shore. Plus, he says, several populations of humpbacks have been declining after a marine heat wave that happened about a decade ago.
They're not doing great at all. So when you have that, and then you overlay on top of that, you know, vessel strikes, even if it's not a lot of animals, it can have an impact.
Whale spotter technology is designed to alert ship crews when there is a whale nearby and give them an opportunity to adjust their course or stop operations. Sean Henry is the chief executive officer at the company.
We're enabling a vessel to detect a whale well ahead of the amount of time it needs to make a turn or slow down.
Henry says thermal cameras track temperature changes in a 4 nautical mile radius around the ship. Then the technology uses artificial intelligence to determine which images likely captured whales. Remote marine mammal observers, that means real people watching the data feed from elsewhere, do the last checks. Then the system sends a real-time alert to crews about a whale nearby. Henry says the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts has been developing the technology for the last 15 years. The institute granted WhaleSpotter a license to sell the technology, and for about a year, the company has been working with different clients.
We have a number of different other types of vessels that are using the product. Some of them vessel strike avoidance, some of them for marine operations like cable laying and pile driving and things like that.
Cox, the CEO of Matson, says that the company plans to have it on all three of its Alaska ships.
It's something that they haven't had before. It's very effective. And there's a genuine enthusiasm and excitement on board the vessels, which is frankly most gratifying to me.
Zaba with the Alaska Whale Foundation says that outfitting ships with the technology to detect whales is the first step. But he says he wants to know more about what the crews will do with that information. He says also having protocols and training can help make sure the new technology is as useful as it can be. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 42 degrees and overcast. Tomorrow, it looks like the rain will only increase, and that looks true for the rest of the week, with temperatures between the low 30s and low 40s. This is KTOO.